Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All Things Covered listeners and viewers, once again, we back. My guy, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden. You guys know how we rock and roll. It's a great day to be alive. Every day is a great day to be alive. So, Pat P, let's take advantage of it. With that being said, you know what time it is. It's the first quarter of our show. It's time for the check in. Saints recap coming back across the pond, as they say it. Right, Pat P? Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Across the pond. The guys are back home, back in the States. Big opportunity for the Minnesota Vikings, an opportunity to stack another win, and they were able to do so. The Saints recap, the Vikings win, and a thriller, to say the least. Game-winning field goal, 28-25. Eric, what was my score prediction? Do we have that? I forgot what I said.
I think you said 16.
20-something to 16, right? I think so. I think I said something like 24-16, 23-16. But who cares what my prediction was? Well, you know what? Screw that. Yes, we got to care because I said the Vikings would win. And guess what? The Vikings did win. So, Pat P, man, you were there, had a front row seat for everything that took place on the football field. Tell us, what was the atmosphere like in London?
Man, the atmosphere was dope. It was pretty cool just to be, you know, playing across, like you said, playing across the pond, playing in front of the Euro fans. And it was kind of like a mixed crowd. You know, there was, you know, cheering and booing. And it was kind of pretty cool because it was a mixed emotion in that game, just as it was in the stands as well.
Yeah, and saying that and seeing that it was a split crowd, there were a lot of Viking fans there. What was it like to see Skull Nation representing you guys?
Man, I wasn't surprised to see the Skull Nation come through. You know, those guys are always on the road with us, no matter where we're playing, you know, so, you know, it's always great to see your fans travel with you and the support that they're continuing to give us throughout the season. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, since the organization been in existence, you know, they got one of the better fan bases across the NFL for sure.
And Pat P, you had the opportunity to play, you know, across the pond, you know, a few times in your career. Is there any difference for you this particular experience with the Minnesota Vikings getting there later in the week than getting there earlier in the week for prep?
I kind of like the way we did it, you know, this go around, going later in the week, have an opportunity to give your body a quicker opportunity to turn around and not really being, you know, on London time, but in your mind, you're still on US time, you know, so
yeah.
I thought it was good for us to go on the later schedule. I thought our bodies turned over really well. Guys woke up very rejuvenated and ready to go. So, plus we won, so I'm more favorable to the later schedule for sure.
Well, what was the reaction Sunday morning when you heard that the inactives for the Saints included Jameis Winston, Michael Thomas, and Alvin Kamara?
We kind of heard the news Saturday, you know, honestly. So we kind of knew going into the game that, you know, certain guys wasn't going to play Saturday at least. You know, it was always up in the air throughout the week, you know, hearing that the guys wasn't practicing, you know, so wasn't quite sure, you know, how, you know, which way it was going to go. And we know that those guys play a lot of ball, so don't really necessarily need, you know, the practice time, just make sure that they have, you know, their film study in and getting their looks, you know, on the practice field from the sideline as much as possible. But when we finally got the news, you know, the final, you know, news that we're going to be playing against Andy Dalton, kind of, you know, I want to necessarily say the game plan switch, but, you know, it was a little different because planning for Jameson, you know, we kind of saw some tendencies, some things that he liked to do, some of the shots he liked to take, you know, so we felt that, you know, the ball game was going to be highly in our favor of trying to cause turnovers. And we all know when Andy get in the game, he's a guy that's going to take what you give him. You know, he's not a constant type quarterback that Jameson is. So, you know, he didn't really give us many opportunities. He did a good job of putting the ball where it needed to be. You know, of course, defensive line made a couple key pressures to get the ball off him for a key turnover in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make him as uncomfortable as possible. You know, if you go back and look at that game, as soon as he come off that back tick, as Coach KO talked about, that back step,
mm-hmm.
Third or fifth step, that ball is coming out. You know, so he's a guy that he knew where he was going with the ball and try to get it out of his hand as quick as possible.
Well, in regards to the Saints defensively, man, your good friend, your homeboy, the Badger, Tyrann Mathews, he showed that he still got a lot left in the tank with an outstanding Purdy interception. I don't know if you actually saw the play, but if you did, can you, you know, tell us a little bit about what you saw on that play that led to a nice interception by Tyrann Mathews?
Yeah, I saw the play. I wasn't standing up on that particular play because I think it was early in the drive. So I had just sat down and it got like a drink of water or whatever. And I saw it on the big screen on the jumbo. And I think it looked like it was in a cover two, if I'm not mistaken, because Irv kind of slipped from behind the corner up the sideline. I don't know, you know, if Kurt thought he had him by himself or he thought it was in zero. I don't know what the case was there, but he made a great break on the ball by keeping his feet in bounds and getting his first interception, as you say.
Yeah, it was a beautiful play. But luckily enough for the Vikings, they were able to fight through that. And that turnover was just a turnover. It didn't help the Saints win anything because, of course, the Saints lost. Man, some somber news to say the least, Pat P. Man, how big of a blow was it to see rookie safety first rounder Lewis Seen, who's been battling different injuries since being drafted, you know, but this one is clearly more serious, a compound fracture, man. How tough was it to see Seen go through that injury?
Man, it was very tough seeing Lewis on the ground, man. I knew it was pretty serious. The length he was on the ground for, you know, then when it started, you know, asking, you know, to get the cart out and a couple of guys who was on the field saying that the injury was pretty bad, you know, I knew it was going to be a long road of recovery for him. But, you know, Lewis, he has a good supporting cast around him as far as the DBs here, you know, and his family, you know, I know he has his family in his corner for sure. It's just tough to see a young guy go down with that type of injury. But like I said, the supporting cast that he has around him, just going to have to make sure that he continue to keep the faith, continue to stay strong, and understand that, you know, it's just a bump in the road. You know, it's a big bump in the road, but it's still a bump in the road that he can overcome. And I definitely see him overcoming as well.
And one thing I don't like about the international play, right? It's great for the fans. It's great in globalizing the sport and trying to globalize the sport even more. But if something like this happened, he has to stay over there and get surgery.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. You know what I mean? You want to be in your comfort zone as much as possible, right? You know what I mean? So is he back here with you guys or is he still in London?
I'm not sure. You know, I haven't heard anything or got any updates, you know, as far as the surgery or if he's still there. All I know that he did have to get surgery there. That's the only thing that I do know.
He didn't fly back with you guys. I know they made that known like instantly at the end of the game when we found out what the injury is, but I mean, that's tough. You're in a foreign place, you know what I mean? Dealing with doctors who you probably don't know,
right.
You know what I mean? And who knows how long you might have to be in that foreign place, in a foreign atmosphere. So that's something that clearly I think the NFL need to be mindful of. Let's talk about some exciting news with you guys. You know, it seems like every time there's a turnover, Pat P, you're in the front of the pack. you know, when a defense forced a turnover. In this case, you did you get a chance to pick up Chris Boyd's helmet and tell him to put it back on?
He said, did I get a chance to?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I told him to put his helmet back on, man. I put it back on for him.
Exactly, because you don't want to have a great play and then get hindered with a penalty, because, you know, that's a flag when you take your helmet off.
Got about 15 yards, especially the way that he threw it off. I was like, hey, man, what you doing? Put your helmet back on. That's 15 yards.
No question. How would you rate Alexander Madison's sip and tea celebration?
I thought it was dope because, you know, what's so crazy about that is I forgot to do that with Harrison Phillips, because that's what we wanted to do. Well, I didn't let them know that. This is what I wanted to do because I knew it was going to end up making the play, as the kiddo, and everybody just hold their cups up, and you know, you just pull your hot water or whatever, you get your tea bag, you dip it, pinkies up.
No question. I like it. It was. It got to the point where you knew exactly what he was doing. You know what I mean? So I really like it on that end. Individually speaking, Pat P, man, the second half, man, they were coming at you. They were trying to give you some action. Can you break down your back-to-back PBUs in the second half?
The first one, yeah, I think I was backside against the very skillful tight end. I can't really even remember his name. But yeah, he's a converted tight end. Matter of fact, he was a receiver last year for him. I cannot remember his name right now. But anyway.
Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson.
Jawan Johnson.
And we knew that in that personnel that they come out in, that they try to, you know, utilize him in the passing game. And they ran that route a couple of times on tape, and I noticed it. It was like a little seven stop. I wish I would have saw the ball a little earlier, because I
could have picked it.
Doubt about it, and I knew he had, and the reason I did knock it down because he already pretty much had position to secure the catch. So if I would have had, you know, it wouldn't have made no sense for me to come all the way back around and try to get my arms up, and he still got the ball. Now it's a tussling match, and you know the refs gonna give them the ball 9 times out of 10. But I ended up making a wise decision late by batting it down. And the second one, 3rd and 4. We was in a little squat technique, and I was trying to bait him up into throwing the 5 yard out, because we know they like that chair concept, especially when the ball is near me, as far as on my hash. And the chair concept is number 2 running a 5 yard out, and number 1 pretty much running a 9 ball. So I was supposed to get hands on it, but I was trying to bait Andy up into throwing that 5 yard out. But he did not throw in the 5 yard, because I think he kind of saw me not, you know, moving a good bit, or I think he read the safety, if I'm not mistaken. So he obviously saw the safety go over the top, knew it wasn't a man-to-man defense. And then that's when he tried to fit it in the honey hole, and I made a play on that one as well.
No question. Big time plays, and you know, you're getting closer and closer week by week. So we know that interception coming. Just be prepared to hold on to it, as I'm sure you will, based on your ball skills that you have. You're going to hold on to it, but try to get some yak. One thing you've emphasized to me on past episodes that, you know, you wanted to be a better tackler. And tell us about the open field tackler, shoestring tackle on a big back in Latavius Murray.
Man, yeah, that was definitely a point of emphasis for me coming into this season. Just to tackle better. You know, I just feel like, you know, it's something I necessarily didn't work on. I know it's a lost art, especially in the league, because it's something that we don't, you know, work on every single day like you're in college. You know, every single day, you're working your form, you're working your tackle. So it's something that I just took upon myself to just really harp on, just on just being in a position, understanding, you know, how to tackle certain people in open space. And with a guy like the back who I had, Latavius, who in open field, you know, he's 6'4", 230, coming field. I had no choice but to tie his shoe, because I didn't want to end up on SportsCenter or on the sideline of the Saints on that play.
No question. No question. Hey, before we get to the end of the game, let's dive into a nice convo I know you're excited to have, and that's regarding PFF, right? Let's talk about PFF and the grades they've given our very own Pat P in 4 weeks of play. So what we're going to do is we're going to break this thing down week by week, right? It's 4 weeks already that has been played. In week one, I would assume this 55.8 rating defense, that's in total defense, I guess. They gave you that's overall defense. So overall defense, they gave you first week, a 55.8. Run defense, they gave you an 80.9. Tackling, they gave you a 78.7. And coverage, they gave you a 50.5 coverage. So in week one, 4 receptions allowed on 6 targets for a total of 51 yards. So in week two, they gave you a better grade.
That's what gets me sometimes.
5.
Because I clearly was in cover two in a couple of those. I knew exactly.
In week one?
Right.
Okay.
But keep going.
Okay. So week two, they gave you a better overall defense grade, 63.5. Run defense, 75.3. Tackling, it went down based on their rating, 52.6. Coverage, it went up to 59.6. One reception allowed on 1 target for 13 yards. So you got targeted once, you allowed 1 reception. Week three, overall defense grade of 63.8, run defense 62.6, tackling went all the way up to 78.7, coverage increased to 63.6, one reception allowed on 7 targets for 23 yards. So they targeted you 7 times, you allowed 1. And this past ball game against the Saints, your best defensive overall grade thus far, 72.4, your run defense 64.2, tackling 76.6, coverage increased as well, 72.6, 3 receptions allowed on 6 targets for 33 yards. So far this season, on 20 targets, Pat P has allowed 9 receptions for 120 yards, 0 touchdowns, a passer rating of 64.6 when targeted. So you're rated as the 40th graded corner. You're rated as the 10th cornerback for run defense. You're rated 32 in tackling, and you're rated 79 cornerback for coverage grade. Notable others on this list for overall cornerback play: Denzel Ward is at 93, Marshawn Lattimore is at 87, AJ Terrell is at 46, Marlon Humphrey is at 38. All right, what did they get wrong, Pat P?
I don't know what I won't necessarily got. I won't necessarily say they got. I just want to know what's the grading process like. How, like, for an example, you give up one reception on 7 targets, 23 yards. That's, again, I had 2 PBUs.
Yep.
As my coverage rating was 63.
I mean, you only gave it 1 reception. I would think.
Out of seven targets.
Out of 7 targets, you only give it 1 for 23 yards. I would think that would be higher than 63, right? On a grading scale of 100?
And on top of that, 2 of those PBUs was on 3rd downs.
Which is huge.
So I just want to know how they go about the grading. I don't have a problem with it. My biggest thing is, how do you go about the grading? And going back on week one, like, how can you say I gave up 4 receptions and my coach said I gave up 2, and the other 2 was in a cover 2?
Mm-hmm.
That's not my responsibility. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So I just want to, and last week, from my knowledge, I gave up 2 catches. I don't know where the 3rd one came from. I gave up the fourth down, and I gave up the one to 12 across the middle. I don't know where the 3rd catch came from.
Yeah, they say you gave it 3 receptions on 6 targets.
That's what I'm saying. So they must be talking about the Latavius tackle, because I was in that space. That's a whole running back.
And you weren't playing man-to-man on the running back.
Right, and that's the only other pass I can think of that I had to tackle, because I had 3 tackles.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
Do you think you should be graded higher?
My overall, especially in a couple of those games. For sure. Like, even we can even go back to Justin. Justin just had last week, he got an overall grade of a 69. This dude had 10 catches for 147 yards. Three catches plus 20. And a rushing touchdown. How is that a 69 overall? Jordan Hicks, one of the leaders, one of the stars of our defense.
Tackling machine.
He gets a grade of a 53. That's failing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, where are they getting, how are they grading? Like, what is the grading system? Yeah, I see that you got run defense. I see you got tackling. I see you got all of this. Like, but what goes, like, so you're saying if it's a run play, right, and a guy, he doesn't hit his gap. Are you taking a minus on that? How do you know what responsibility he got? You're not even his coach.
That's the thing. I was going to ask you, you know, what bothers you the most? You know what I mean? You kind of answered that question also. And do you have an issue with the way the fans or the media use these stats sometimes to label a player, the way GMs use these stats when it comes to free agency, all of that, right? That you feel some type of way, right?
No doubt about it, because last time I checked, I grade out on average an 89 on average. And that's from your coach.
That's from your coach.
Who knows the game, who know what responsibility they are, man, who know when I should win this route. You know what I mean? Who knows the ins and out of the game.
Yeah.
My first week, week one, I graded a 92.
Mm-hmm.
Week two, I graded an 80, I think an 80, an 87, because I missed a couple, I think I missed one tackle in that game. Because my coach is
kind of. Well, week one from PFF, they gave you a 55.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. That's a whole 30% off.
No question. Hey, Pappy, do you think there's any chance they knock your grades personally because you speak out against them?
Yeah, at this point, I don't even care. I just wanted to be done right. I'm sure other guys won't say the same things. I just have questions on how are they grading. I'm not knocking the pro football focus.
You just want clarity on how they're grading people.
Like you just alluded to, everybody look at this as the Bible. GMs are looking at, oh, let's see how Pro Football Focus rate this guy in free agency. Yeah. Then how we want to pay him or how we want to go about our business, which I don't think is a right. If you're going to put something out, let's put it out the right way or put at least have some people that have some knowledge of schemes knowing what certain players have to do, be in a grading process.
And talking about your teammate, Justin Jefferson, PFF, they have him ranked the 34th best wide receiver this season. 34.
He had two quiet weeks. Week two and week three. But I don't think he's the 34th best receiver in the game.
I think if you were to ask 10 football fans that question, all 10 would say he's not the 34th best wide receiver.
Over Justin right now?
Say it again?
You mean to just tell me you're going to take 33 other receivers over Justin?
No, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. And for the people that probably came up with that ranking for PFF, I'm pretty sure they play fantasy football. They won't take 33 wide receivers over Justin to be on their fantasy team.
Right.
Right. So, like you said, it's more about getting clarity on what they're grading, how they're coming up with their grades, how they're understanding and knowing the scheme of things from both sides of the football to be able to give the best sound, honest grade as possible. But hey, Pat P, at least they're saying overall they have you the 40th graded corner in the college, and not college football, in the NFL right now. So, I mean,
absolutely. I'm trending.
And they got Denzel, they got Marshawn Lattimore, who's been in his bag, he 87. AJ Terrell, who's been in his bag, he's 46. Friend of the show, had him on the show some months ago. So, hey, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of other players, current players, have the same concerns, questions that you have, Fat Pete. But with that being said, let's see exactly what they have for next week and the week after that. And we will continue to monitor this too as well, PFF. So don't think we just one and done. We're going to keep paying attention, see what you guys are doing. But let's get back to the game, Pat P. What type of resilience did the team show after it was tied up 25 to take the lead again late in the fourth quarter?
Man, this team, you know, a lot of the guys who've been on this team, we've seen it all, you know, especially a lot of the guys who's coming back from last year's team. So at this point, you know, we're just sticking in there, man, until the end. You know, we never feel like we're in a bad situation. You know what I mean? We just have to execute and do our part. You know, if we do our part, we have a pretty good opportunity of coming out on top.
Yeah. And one thing I like, though, games like this past Sunday, if this was a year ago, you lose that ball game.
No doubt about it. And breaks are definitely starting to fall our way, which we can appreciate. But, you know, we at the same time, you know, we have to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
We can't, you know, this can be those type of games, like you said, we look back on and be like, man, you remember the double doink? Or, you know, late, we was down 10 with 5 to go against Detroit. You know what I mean? So, you know, these are the type of memories that, you know, hopefully, you know, we are going to be able to cherish them, but we'll be able to tell them, you know, coming back, you know, 25 years from now with that purple jacket on as, you know, possibly one of the greatest teams to play in a Minnesota Viking uniform.
No question. Well, heck, y'all in the Super Bowl, y'all would be considered the greatest team to ever do so. Because last time I checked, Vikings don't have a Super Bowl, right?
Sure.
They've been to a lot of them. They don't have them. So if you can get that done, ain't no guarantee. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You will get a purple jacket. Last question for you before we transition to our break and get ready for this Bears preview. Is your guy Kirk Cousins getting better at the gritty?
It didn't look too good. Look too good, Matt.
Hey, he's trying.
He's trying.
We gotta give him credit where credit is due. He is trying. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, he's definitely doing that.
No question. Well, ladies and gents, we're gonna take a quick little time out, regroup, go over some schemes. And when we come back, it's time to tap in and get ready for what's upcoming for the Vikings. Guess what? Another divisional game. The Chicago Bears up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Pat P., your next opponent. Is a team you know very, very well, playing in your division. This is a very, very important game. It's important for a few reasons. Number one, it's an NFC North opponent. You guys have an opportunity, already having two games in your hand, out of the way, all victories, by the way, to get another win within the division. And we know how important winning your division games is when it comes to trying to get that championship crown at the end of the year in your division. You're playing against the Chicago Bears, but before we tap into the Bears, is it weird to go out of the country to London and not have a bye week So you got to get right back into the flow of things and get ready for another opponent.
I love it.
You like it? Tell us why.
Hey, man, that iron hot right now, Matt. That iron hot, man. We might as well just keep on rolling, man. Keep on rolling. We got a bye week here in 2 weeks. We got some, you know, like you said, a good task in front of us facing a divisional opponent. Then we got to travel down to sunny South Florida next week. Then we're going to have that bye to have an opportunity to regroup, then get back going. But, you know, right now, the way, you know, that the momentum and the way the confidence is building with the team, let's keep it rolling.
Yeah. And how do you approach a game like this in regards to, you know, your DB being a DB versus an opponent that throws the ball at a historically low rate? I mean, we're not seeing a lot of passes from the Bears. The Bears are off to one of the worst passing starts this century. Their 67 pass attempts are the fewest by any team through four games since the 1982 Patriots. And I saw a stat today. Cooper Kupp has more receptions than Justin Fields has as completions.
Wow.
Like Justin Jefferson has 28 receptions. The Bears team has 34. And wow, they only have 471 yards as a team receiving yards. Justin Jefferson has 393, two touchdowns tied to two touchdowns. So, yes, Cooper Kupp has more receptions than Justin Fields has completions. So, long story short, their passing game has been out of whack. So I'll ask you this question. Seeing that this team has been consistently bad in throwing the football, is there any added pressure for you guys, especially in the back end, to keep that trend going?
Not really. Just watching them on tape, it's just they really lean on the run. I was just watching them against the first game against Green Bay. I saw that game live on Monday night. And they committed to the run. They had some big runs, but they were just committed to the run, man. I don't know if it's, you know, the passing scheme is not set up for Justin Fields at all. I don't know if it's not slowing down for him just yet. I know one thing, he definitely holds on to the ball a very, very when he do drop back and pass. So I don't know if it's a trust factor, you know. So it's a lot of things that can go into the factor why they only throwing the ball 67 times, which is, like you said, mind-boggling. But I don't believe there's no added pressure on the back end, as long as we still continue to take away those big plays. You know, when they do want to, you know, play action and boot them and put them on a move and things like that, put those guys in predictable situations. Make sure we stop the run. That's going to be very key in this ball game, because these guys are going to heavily rely on the run game. So if we do those things, you know, it can be another 22-17 day.
and no question. And most importantly, too, I mean, you're 3-1 right now. Just think about how this season has been night and day for our fans watching us and listening to us. Because remember, last year, I can't remember you guys were in your first four games, but I don't think you were 3-1. I know that for sure. We had already experienced.
Maybe 2-2, maybe?
Got to be 2-2. I don't think you were 3-1, 1-3. But yeah, clearly, this is a better start. Another opportunity to play against a team that, you know, you got to take care of. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And I think that's where it all lies for the Minnesota Vikings. A crazy stat in regards to the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings haven't been called for an offensive holding, DPI, face mask, unnecessary roughness, or roughing the passer yet this season. How does that happen, Pat P?
Man, we just a clean football team, man. We don't beat ourselves, man. We just, so far, just been a very, very smart football team in all phases. Two-minute warnings, special teams, you know, offense. You know, I know KO is preaching about getting better in the red zone, but other than that, those guys are clicking on all cylinders. You know, defense, you know, we want to continue doing a better job of just slowing down the run and keeping guys out of the end zone when they get in the red zone. But, you know, for the most part, just being just a clean, physical football team, man. And that's one thing that KO always harp on. Going into each and every game, you know, making sure that we're not beating ourselves. And that's one element, that's one box that we can check off for sure, that, you know, we're not out there, you know, putting ourselves in harm's way by racking up penalty yardage on the stat sheet.
Yeah. Well, you know what time it is. It's prediction time, right? Playing against an offense that has been one-dimensional, haven't really thrown the football a lot. I don't know if you guys will get an opportunity to catch any passes as a defender because they don't throw the football a lot. But with that being said, I got to give a score prediction of 23-13 Vikings win. Vikings go on to advance to be 4-1, which is really good because last year we got the record. In the first four ball games, you guys were 1-3, and you went off to win two straight, and you became 3-3. So this is the opportunity for the Vikings to get to jump to 4-1. So for all you listeners and viewers, man, especially in our comments on YouTube, let us know what your prediction would be for this game. Let's see who comes up to be the closest. Let's do that. Let's play that little guessing game. See if we can have the closest prediction score, predicting the score for this Sunday's ball game at home. It's another home affair. So make sure Viking Nation, man, Skull Nation, and make sure you're there to support. And let's get this 23-13 victory in favor of the Vikings. Pat P, it's time to tap into Around the League. It's not a lot that we need to discuss. It's one specific topic I want to go over with you. Tua Tagovailoa, right? I know you heard he went to sleep, kind of, on Sunday. Went out for a few ball games, for a few plays, came back in against the Buffalo Bills, played on Thursday, went, got concussed again, and now it's a big deal. All right, so of course, personal question for you, understanding and knowing how the NFL, they try to police concussions. What are your thoughts on Tua Tagovailoa, the situation in the league's concussion protocols as it stands today?
My only thing is, how did they get it wrong? How did they get this wrong? Because you got an independent consultant and you have obviously the team consultant. Everybody in the world saw that that man was concussed Sunday when they played the Buffalo Bills. You can't tell me that his back and his ankle gave out. First of all,
I ain't never
seen nobody back give out before. Have you?
I never seen somebody back give out that they're stumbling. Number one, I never seen somebody have a back issue, but when they get up, they're shaking their head because they're trying to kind of get themselves together.
The only time I did see somebody back gave in is when they got something on their back.
So, that's the thing. Like, right. What?
From the get-go, he was concussed. So
yes,
that means they didn't run the test. That's the only thing I can come to conclusion. They did not run no concussion protocol.
So this is my theory on it. Last Sunday was a huge game for Miami. At that time, they had an opportunity to improve to being 3-0. They haven't been 3-0 in a long, long time. They were playing against a team in the division, in the Buffalo Bills. It was a big game for Miami. When Tua went down, when it looked like he was concussed, they probably felt, granted, it was still time left in that ballgame, Pat P. If he goes out and he is now out for the remainder of this game, you don't stand a chance of winning. So we got to find a way to get this man back in the game. So what we're going to do is, like you said, they might have not properly gave the protocols how it was supposed to have been done, but somehow or another, he quote-unquote passed the protocols to return to the ball game, which is mind-boggling because nowadays, even when a player looks like he's dazed, they take his helmet.
No doubt about it. They don't even ask you. You ready to go back in? They're not even asking you. They're doing their test. You know, they asking you all type of questions. Because I had a concussion before in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, against Philadelphia Eagles. They run you through all these balance tests, you know, to make sure your one leg, eyes closed, this, that, and the other, reciting months backwards, all type of stuff. So if he passed that, kudos to him. But he definitely was concussed. Ain't no way around that.
And I think understanding and seeing now that the NFLPA, number one, I think the NFLPA, they did not hold the rope. They should have launched an investigation after Sunday's game. Yeah. That's when they should have launched an investigation.
Who's the doctor? Or who's the consultant? No, nobody's
an independent consultant. But for the NFLPA to launch an investigation after Thursday game, it's too late. You should have did that Sunday. You should have figured out why this man looked like he was dazed, right? He was off, couldn't really run. But how did he return back to the ball game? The job for the NFLPA is to protect the players. I think they did. They dropped the ball in trying to protect Tua Tagovailoa. And then launched an investigation after Thursday. Heck, the damage was already done. He shouldn't have played Thursday.
No doubt about it. And we need to find out who the doctor is, man. Who the guy is.
Well, whoever the independent doctor, you know, they're going to fall on the sword. Because they're independent. They're not necessarily tied to the NFL.
True.
So, and that's why they're saying they're going to now change the concussion protocols, basically saying it weren't good enough. So that's why this mishap happened. So now we're going to put something else in place that we can make sure that it was good. No, the protocols are good. You just didn't do them.
I don't know, man. I don't know if they took the test, if he passed the test, all of that. But that dude was concussed. I don't care what nobody said.
It don't take a rocket scientist to know. Like you said, that man was concussed, Pat P. That man was concussed. We know that for sure.
And like you said, like, you know, obviously, you know, the Dolphins seeing the position they was in, playing the Buffalo Bills, the opposition in the division, first time to go 3-0, Rodney Harrison hit it on the head, man.
Mm-hmm.
He hit it on, and your health is way more worth than a damn W of fighting to try to play the next play, because that next play could possibly be your last.
Like, right. Why
you want to put yourself, the strongest mind, I mean, the strongest muscle in your body, the best muscle in your body, be at 50%
mm-hmm.
versus at 100%.
No question.
So life is much longer, way longer than football. And I want guys to be able to enjoy it after, because that's when life really begins. You don't have to worry about no damn meetings. You got waking up in the morning. You can enjoy your life. And why not enjoy your life with your full senses?
Hey, well said. Well said. And we know one thing about the game of football. Sometimes players won't protect themselves. So that's why we got people in place that are supposed to protect the players. We just didn't see that last Thursday, and hopefully we see a better progress in place moving forward. Pat P, we know you got to get prepared for this upcoming ball game. Another outstanding opportunity to show how great you are and your team, how great the team is as well. Divisional foe, Chicago Bears will be coming to Minnesota. Minnesota currently 3-1. Let me make sure I get that record right. A lot at stake. Another division game and trying to improve to be 4-1 and continuing to stack these victories, because that's all that matters, trying to get to that NFC North championship crown. Pat P, go out and go get you one, man. Fall into a pick, man. This is, let one hit you dead in the chest.
Boom.
Hey, man, let's get this 4-1 going.
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. Men's National Team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the Men's Sunday Performance Jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.